Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeah. I mean, you just click on or Google NFL anything and, you know, it's just standard. At least for this week. Just bad to worse to horrific. So we're at it again. Yep. Marcellus Dariusson, he really is facing charges from two different women. I'll tell you about the second one, too, which is kind of pending, but it's just disgusting. Anyway, how you doing? It's a Thursday. Great to have you here with us at 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepherd without Craig. He's out. He'll be back on Monday. Chris in the house, though, here on 99.3 ESPN. We're always live and local, 2 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Again, Craig will be back in next week. The phone number, 239-337-3776. Lots to talk about today. A gigantic show. And yes, I'm slapping bad Pete. Bad. Yesterday, I forgot to give away the two tickets and the bus passes for our trip to the Red Sox and Rays game on August 25th. So we'll give away two sets today. I promise you one coming up in just a little bit. It was my fault because we got carried away with some of the other topics. And I just flat out forgot, so I apologize. Anyway, latest NFL news. Lots to get to today. Marcell Dareius, latest on LeSean McCoy. Nothing there has really changed yet, but the day is young. The Alliance of American Football has salary details, player allocation, combine, and draft news. I'm loving that. We've got the NFL's worst to best offenses. We might get into that a little bit later on. Tim Tebow going to become the sixth Gator inducted into the Gators Ring of Fame. He also doubled last night in the stupid Eastern League All-Star game.
Did you hear how that game ended?
Yeah, he'll be a Met. He'll be a Met soon. This year they will call him up.
So September's when they go to the 40 man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be called up.
He will be up there.
The Home Run Derby is set. Oh God, it's pathetic.
It was so good last year too.
Pathetic.
It was great last year.
I'll get to the names maybe. Yeah. There's somebody in it that has 14 home runs, I think. There's nobody wants to do it.
Right.
Not a lot of sexy names, to say the least. Let's see. We've got LeBron. He sold a movie project to Paramount Players. Could get into that. But Bavada's conference championship odds are out. And the Game of Thrones Invitational, which is the 2018 Emmy Awards, have been announced. We will absolutely get into that. And Game of Thrones led everybody with 22 nominations after not getting any last year. So we'll get into that as well. 239-337-3776. Take that, Craig Sheeman, wherever you are. 22 nominations. Good stuff. 239-337-3776. So let me just fill you in on what's going on in Jacksonville here with this Jaguars story, because Marcell Dareius is being sued by two different women for sexual assault. Now, last night, News 4 in Jacksonville spoke with Dareius attorney Steve Weisnecker, who declined to comment on a lawsuit filed by a Texas woman identified only as Jane Doe, who alleges that Dareius sexually assaulted her and exposed her to a sexually transmitted disease. Doe accuses Dareius of having sex with her while she was unconscious and failing to disclose that he had a sexually transmitted disease. Meanwhile, the accused attorney stated he is unaware of any criminal charges that have been filed in the case at this point. And this is not the only sexual assault in which Dareius is involved. He is set to appear in court next month, August 9th, to have his motion to dismiss a case filed by an unidentified woman heard. The woman alleges that in January 2017 in Tampa, that Dareius assaulted her at a rented property there 2 days before the college football national title game. Tampa Bay Times has the story. The suit alleges that the lawsuit filed by an unnamed plaintiff in circuit court in Hillsborough County Circuit states that she met Dareius at a downtown Tampa club on January 7th, a couple of nights before the title game, and was invited to an after party at the mansion rented by Dareius. The party there had 10 to 12 strippers, 30 to 40 persons in total, including other unnamed NFL players, also alcohol, cocaine, pot, visible and open, offered to partygoers, according to the lawsuit. Suit alleges that Darius grabbed her breast and attempted to put his hands between her legs. At that, she resisted his advances, told him to stop. She'd been drinking and, quote-unquote, blacked out, but recalled being guided down the hallway to the master bedroom with Darius behind her. She said she woke up in bed with her clothes disheveled and Darius unclothed and asleep next to her and, quote, began to immediately realize that there had been sexual physical acts upon her person. Suit states that she left the room, got a ride back to Tampa, was emotionally distraught, stayed in her room, flying to L.A. on January 9th. She initially kept the details of the incident private, quote, due to embarrassment and self-guilt. Now, there is no record of criminal charges being filed in the case, and when contacted by the Tampa Bay Times for comment, both the Jaguars and Darius reps declined to do so. Aside from the civil proceedings brought by the two women, the NFL obviously seems likely to conduct its own investigation of the allegations, which could lead to Darius facing some form of discipline from the league office, of course, because of our favorite term, yes, let's all say it at the same time, shall we? Let's all say it at the same time. League personal conduct policy. Let's find out if he reported any of this to Roger Goodell. If he didn't.
Oh, he definitely didn't.
He didn't, obviously.
He didn't. The one in two, that was it 15 or 16? January of 2015, was it?
Yeah.
He wasn't in the NFL at that time. How could he report anything?
I'm getting disheveled myself because there's so many dates, so many crimes, so many sexual assaults.
Yeah.
It's just hard to keep
track. To keep
track.
It all straight, it's...
And who's hiring what attorney and what? I feel like they're all going to get into some conference. So, yeah, the woman alleges that in January of 2017, that's the one, this is the one that's set to appear in court next month. That's from January of 2017. The other one is when they went on a date this past April, April 7th. So get it straight, okay? The latest one happened in Houston on April 7th of 2018. The complaint states Darius is accused and went on a date in Houston April 7th, ended up them spending the night together at a hotel. It says that when the woman woke up in pain the next day, she could not recall what happened the night before. But Darius told her they had sex. It goes on to say that Darius saw the woman following 2 days and... 2 days, and the pair had sex on multiple occasions. Later the same week, the complaint argues the woman came down with symptoms of herpes and went to see a doctor who diagnosed her with the disease.
That's illegal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Spreading an STD without informing a partner?
I believe it is.
I think it is.
Yeah. Of course, you can always say, I didn't know I had it, but...
Okay.
But again, the accused's attorney stated he's unaware of any criminal charges. So, that's the second one. That is from April 7th. This past year, 2018. The other one is started on January 7th of 2017. That's the one with all the coke in the pot and, you know, strippers, 10 to 12 strippers at this other place that they were at.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. We'll have a quiz later on. Nothing new, really, in Shady McCoy's, except that he hires, you know, the prominent attorney, and I'm sure more is going to come out today. But Roger Goodell, what an offseason once again for our buddies at 345 Park Avenue. What a mess. What an absolute mess. You cannot click on NFL without coming up with some sort of these types of stories. It is absolutely ridiculous. And it's another reason why it's turning more people off. And we had a poll yesterday. We had over 1,000 votes. It's still going on for a couple hours, but... It's about, if you had a choice, what would you rather watch for this year only NFL or only college football? Overwhelmingly was NFL. I think it was 86%, somewhere around there. But these stories, I mean, it's really becoming, it's really sad because we can't talk about strategy. You can't, I mean, you know, it's all criminal allegations.
Yeah.
Sexual assaults.
And we don't know. I mean,
and the NFL won't tell us anything, and they won't explain anything.
But we don't even know. And, we don't even know when to expect anything from the NFL either, because it seems like sometimes they conduct their own investigation that will last 6, 8, 12 months. Other times, we kind of just hear about it falling in our lap. That we've been doing our own investigation about this on the side over the last few weeks. So we're going to give Phil Brown, the punter for the Giants.
Yeah.
We're going to give him one game for roughing up his wife. They're all over the place with it. And now Bills fan, now Jags fan, you can't expect anything. Jags personnel. I don't know if you expect to have this guy on your team for the first few weeks of the season. Same goes with LeSean McCoy and the Buffalo Bills. Is he on the commissioner exempt list? Is he going to get 6 games? Is he going to get 3 games?
Or is he going to be banned for life?
Because if it's 6, then I need to go out and I need to find myself a replacement. I can figure out how to get by with 3 games.
There is no way LeSean McCoy stays in this league if he is attached to this story in any way, shape, or form. This goes way beyond 6 games. He's either part of it or he's not. And if he's part of it in any way, shape, or form, meaning hiring the dudes, as he was quoted as saying, that this woman, one woman said, hired the dudes to come and ransack the place or threaten them and move furniture out and all that stuff, then he's gone. There's no 6 games for LeSean McCoy. You're either gone for life, or
well, and if
the story
it is,
has no teeth to it, which yeah, if, I highly doubt.
If it is the 6 games, then at what point is it then on the Buffalo Bills organization to say no, we're not dealing with this?
Again, it takes it, and if it's 6 games, I can't see it being 6 games. I just can't. Now, I could see it being 6 games for the Marcell Dareus, absolutely, but I want the NFL at some point, if they give him 6 games and Jameis Winston only gets 3, I mean, they got, again, more splaining to do. They really do. I don't know how you're going to give Marcell Dareus, and again, even if he's found not guilty in court, that doesn't mean squat to the NFL. I know, because people are going to say, oh, the criminal charges so far, none of them filed. It doesn't matter in the NFL. They have their own public personal conduct policy. It doesn't matter.
No criminal charges were filed against Jameis Winston.
Nope.
Now there will probably be a civil suit to come down shortly, but
and maybe there's one here too. Maybe there's one here too. But right now, based on what has been and in the NFL, whatever they find, it's another investigation. We just saw. You know, they've known about the first one from last year.
Yeah, a civil suit has been filed against Marcell Dareus already. I don't know which assault or victim, I should say, filed this.
Okay, well, the
civil suit.
The one that's happened recently, according to the story I have, the accuser's attorney stated that he is unaware of any criminal charges that have been filed in case at this point. The other story that happened last year, again, says there's no record of criminal charges being filed in the case, and when contacted, and that was the one that happened with the 10 to 12 strippers back on August, at least set to appear in court on August 9th. But this is the one that happened.
Is that January?
January of 2017. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is tough to keep all these straight.
Yeah. All right. 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. And then we'll get to what a great draw the Marlins had last night. It was spectacular. Spectacular. And I'm going to throw this out. We did this once before. I'm going to do it again. I'll get to the phones in a second. But I want to know, there last night at the Marlins game, a record low for the year in for Major League Baseball. By the way, they're ready to set a record to average less than 29,000 a game around the country. But last night set a new record at Marlins Stadium. 5,265 people allegedly were at that game. That is the official count. 5,265. If you were there last night and saw a Starlin Castro and you stayed through 12 innings, which there were only, I guess, 200 to 300 people left in the stadium in the 12th inning. If you were there last night and if you stayed all the way through the 12th inning, I want to hear from you at 239-337-3776.
Think about that. There's probably half the high school football stadiums in the state of Texas with more people than what the Marlins had last night.
Texas? How about this state? You get a JV basketball game that has more people going to it than that.
The Thursday night freshman JV doubleheader for football games?
Yep.
You can get that in a few spots around the state. Absolutely.
Because I really want to, I'm serious. 239-337-3776. If you were one of the 5,265, and that is That's the people that allegedly showed up. You know it was less than
that's announced.
And there were only a couple of hundred to 300 at the end of the game in the 12th inning. If you were there and you even stayed to the end, man, you guys deserve a medal for that. Good game. You know, good game. But 5,265. All right, let's get to the phones. 239-337-3776. It's a Sean up first today on Cheeseman and Shepherd from Lehigh right here on 99.3 ESPN. Hey, Sean.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, so I've called before, and I know sometimes that, you know, you can kind of get a distaste in your mouth for kind of intermingling, like, world social issues into, like, the sports realm because sports is supposed to be the escape from, like, the reality of things.
Yep.
But I want you to allow me, like, 20 seconds to lay the foundation. I promise it points back to sports, and then I want to get your opinion on it.
Okay, go ahead.
So my thing with this whole sexual assault allegation, we keep hearing it in the NFL. In my opinion, basically what's happening is we're basically just pulling back a corner of the cover of actually what the bigger issue, you know, globally is, which is, you know, the mass objectification of women. Now, laying that foundation, what I want to know from you is, what do you suggest we do? Because it's not just the NFL. It's not just the NBA. It's not just the sports world. It's on a global level. We're seeing it because it's so polarized in the sports realm. But as somebody of your caliber that has a big voice in a platform in the sports industry, what do you suggest that we do to not just stop this and get these athletes to use their freaking platform to make a difference? What do we do, Pete?
Well, if you talk, let's take the sports out of it first. I mean, I would like to think in the corporate world or the, you know, in the business world, I don't care if you're at a radio station, a restaurant, a hotel, whatever line you're an accountant, it doesn't really matter. I would think if you go behind and grope a woman, that you're probably going to face some discipline right there on the spot. I mean, do we agree on that?
I would agree for the majority, yes.
Okay. In the NFL, you can do that. And no criminal charges can be filed, yet the NFL can make up, has their own personal conduct policy, which is totally inconsistent. They won't tell you exactly how they form their conclusions for some, when it comes to this stuff. Ezekiel Elliott, they did. Jameis Winston, they didn't. So I think there is big time confusion there. Not to mention, I mean, how do you stop it? How about common sense? Or you're there's a one and done here. I mean, if you grope somebody in the office, you're probably going to be fired. And that's going to be stuck to your resume, and it's going to be stuck in your personal file, any other job you apply for. I promise it will come up.
I'm about really, you know, I love the NFL, man. Like, I mean, I can't wait sometimes for us to get through this black hole of sports to get into the NFL. But you know what? Like, I'm getting real sick and tired of the NFL dropping the ball. And, you know, they can drop it on some things, but my God, man, like, you know, the world's a bad enough place as it is. And, you know, women are getting assaulted and hurt, you know, with people that are associated with your brand. I mean, stand up, grow a pair, and set a freaking example already.
Well, they are. But, I mean, so if you were, I mean, what, give me your solution. What would you, I mean, we're seeing it happen. You know, more women are coming out now in Hollywood, and I get that. And I think more people are coming out in society that normally would not have filed charges in the past for fear of embarrassment or fear for their job or their even in their life. So tell me your solution.
For starters, I think I'm of the same mind as you. I think that it has to be I don't know how they don't have a standard operating procedure for things like this in the NFL, given the size of their organization. But for starters, if even the mention of something like this happens, I think there has to be a zero tolerance rule put in place where there are immediate suspensions, immediate game sat out, and then we wait to find out, you know, the details as we go forward. You know, the tricky part is, you know, being, you know, completely honest, like, there are men that are falsely accused.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. But I think, you know, the NFL is in such a bad place right now that I would rather see them leaning more toward the extreme of, hey, listen, we're zero tolerance for even an accusation of this, and there's going to be punishment until there's clarity, than the way that they're kind of leaning more toward the gray area now, and it's making them look really stupid and really bad.
All right, Sean, some good thoughts. Thanks for the call. And, but the only problem I have with the latter part of that statement is that, you know, now you're talking about you're guilty and prove your innocence. And that's not what this country was founded on. But, with the NFL and their code of conduct policy, that doesn't really apply, does it? Because they can, even if you're found innocent or no criminal charges have been filed, they can find you guilty and penalize you. They don't tell you why, but they do it. Or they don't tell you they don't make it clear. They don't tell you how they form their conclusions because they're too afraid. I mean, I don't understand how Jameis Winston gets three games when it says in the NFL report, which I've said time and time again, and sorry being redundant, I was shocked at how, quote unquote, graphic the detail was. And by graphic, it said the witness was totally credible. And the witness, quote unquote, Kate, was totally credible in that he grabbed her crotch. It says it. That's sexual assault. It says he touched her inappropriately. But they give him three games. It's supposed to be six. And they don't tell you why. And we all know why.
You know, kind of deal.
Yeah. Some kind of deal that was cut. There's no question about it. LeSean McCoy, this might be the ugliest situation yet. You're talking about, or right up there. I mean, it's not Ray Lewis and Ray Carruth. I mean, we're talking, not talking. But my God, the pictures of that woman.
Listen, the result.
Her head was bashed in.
The result is not the same of Ray Carruth.
But it should not get to that point. Why do we shouldn't need graphic images.
No, the result's not the same as Ray Carruth, but the play, if you will, the steps that were taken leading up to the alleged assault, it's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing. Just say it out loud. Yeah. Hired a hitman.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Oh, hang on. Dudes. What he did.
Excuse me?
He hired button men. Allegedly hired button men. That's what they are, to use an old school term. You know? Somebody to go in there, and clearly this is not the first time. According to the quotes to me, like I said, give me my big Star Trek red alert in the background, because it seems very clear to me. These weren't like made up. It doesn't seem like made up allegations to me, because they're too specific in some of the things that she talks about. One of the women talks about, as far as the kidney situation with the dog and where the child was beaten. And other times, where they've come to repossess the furniture and she was threatened, like, that jewelry's worth a lot of money.
What the child was beaten for.
Yeah.
Specifically, peeing in the bed.
Peeing in the bed. You know, you don't, that to me, you know, it brings up another red flag. It really does. 239-337-3776. And I know there is probably a small minority of people out there that may think this was just, you know, is it possible that these two women just made it up trying to get money or whatever? I guess it's always a possibility. That's why you have to wait. But what does your gut instinct tell you right now about this scenario? What does it tell you about Marcel Dareus? I mean, it just looks bad. It keeps happening over and over again. And to me, it keeps happening over and over again because it doesn't seem to be any severe repercussions by the NFL, with the exception of Ray Rice, and that took a long time and a video for it to happen. So it's unbelievable to me. But I shouldn't be surprised. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take caller number 9 right now at 239-337-3776. Get a pair of tickets for the Sox-Rays game, our party bus, and Sox race tickets for August 25th. It's a Saturday. It's a 6:05 game. I'll be there. Craig will be there. Chris will be on the bus. We're going to have a great time. Call number 9. Get you on the bus and into the game at the Trop. 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. Caller number 9 right here. Sheeman and Shepherd rolls on a Thursday, 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
Back here, Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN. Phone number 239-337-3776. 3776, 239-337-3776. Gigantic show lined up for you today. For those of you who don't know, Phil Yates is going to join us this afternoon as well, normally on Fridays, but he's going to be on assignment. So he's coming on today at 3:30. Matthew Fairborn, who covers the Bills for The Athletic, will join us at 4:30. And then Rick Horro, our sports business expert, is going to join us, and we got a lot to talk about there. The decline attendance in baseball, World Cup, lots of topics to go over with him. And you know him from Keeping Score on Sirius XM, or on Reuters, and Sirius XM Beyond the Scoreboard. Does a great job. He just got back from South Africa last week, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he told some interesting stories, like giraffes going across the green. So we'll talk to Rick at 5 o'clock, but Phil coming up at 3:30. So then your phone calls as well, 239-337-3776. Just another bad PR day for the NFL. The latest is Marcel Darius facing sexual assault lawsuits from two different women. Here we go, league personal conduct policy. Let's see how long it takes, see what kind of suspension, if any, that he gets here, depending on what happens in court next month for one of them. Unbelievable. 239-337-3776. A couple of texts before we get back to the phones. One says, where is it? There's a good one here. And I'll get it for you right here. Okay, what drives me crazy is that the general population is more up in arms over a peaceful protest and then this continual abuse exerted on women from NFL players. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, really. 1609 says, we need an independent outfit to suspend these guys for a full penalty, no matter how much the team in the NFL kick and scream about it. Yeah, as long as they're... The problem is, you know, it's two ways to look at this. I mean, obviously, if they're approved, I mean, if they're guilty in a court of law, all right, then the NFL gets off easy. Then they just automatic. I mean, it's easy for them. The problem is when they're not, or there's no criminal charges filed, and they still have their own set of justice rules because of this personal conduct policy, but they don't explain it clear enough, so everybody's left with a bunch of questions. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jim in Estero up next here on Sheeman and Shepherd with Pete and Chris on 99.3 ESPN. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? By the way, You guys do a great job. Your give and take with Chris is hilarious. So thanks for the work you guys do.
Wait till we talk Emmys in the next hour, maybe.
I've got a different take on this. I'm a retired cop for 28 years. I've handled hundreds of investigations. Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying with, if they're convicted in a criminal court of law, that makes it easy. But when the NFL does these investigations, they're hiring attorneys and investigators. And I'm sure they're doing these very similar to the way a law enforcement agency would handle their investigations in case these ever do end up in civil litigation. And I'll tell you, I've done hundreds of these, and I've never seen two exactly the same. So to say you're going to apply the same penalty to every offender is almost impossible, which is why when somebody is convicted in a court of law, they wait several weeks before there's a sentencing hearing, because there's a lot of things that come into play with sentencing. Going to the Jameis Winston thing, for example, you're going to look at how much he cooperated with the investigation. Did he show any remorse? Those kinds of things. I'm sure with Jameis, he walked in with his tail between his legs, admitted they had him. He took his 3 days, and he agreed not to fight them in court for a year like Tom Brady did, where it's going to cost the NFL millions of dollars to fight that. And because of that, they give him a reduced sentence. I think that is the way every case is handled thousands of times a day in this country. And I don't understand why that's so hard for some to believe.
Well, look, I understand, Jim, what you're saying. And stay on the line a second, because it's interesting to talk to an operator. Were you a detective or, not that it matters, or were you?
I worked in investigation for several years, but okay. I held every position in my department
I understand what you're saying, and that applies in the real world as far as, enforcing the law and deals and all that stuff. The NFL has a policy. There is no, well, if he cooperated, this, the reduced sentences, this, that. It says clearly in their conduct policy that if you are guilty of sexual assault, which they said he was, then you get 6 games, and they have yet to enforce it. They've yet to do it.
I understand that. But in the criminal court of law, if you're convicted, your crime could also say you could be sentenced from 6 to 30 years.
Yes.
And you could fall anywhere in there. And as for, your point about Darius, I don't know a lot about it. I just turned you guys on about an hour ago, and I'm not as well informed as you are. But, if you're an employee of a company and you commit something like this, there's something called administrative leave. you're placed on administrative leave with pay pending the outcome of an investigation. If the NFL did that, everybody would be on up in arms about that. Take these guys, say you can't play for 4 years, 4 weeks until this investigation is over, but we'll do it with pay. I don't see the problem with that either. These guys need to be held accountable, and they can't tie up the NFL like Tom Brady did for a year and a half, costing the NFL millions of dollars to fight this for no reason at all.
Yeah, but the NFL also has wasted millions of dollars, Tom, on the Wells Report, which 99% of the population didn't read, and that was a waste of money and time on their part, and it proved nothing. Nothing except people who were ignorant enough, didn't know the ideal gas law, number one. And you're talking about the weight of a couple of dollar bills. As opposed to, Jim, in the NFL report that came out 2 weeks ago, it says it, which I was shocked at, as I've said before, it says it that he sexually assaulted the woman. It says that. That he groped her crotch. It says it right in the report. And it also says that they found her absolutely credible, this woman as known as Kate, and they gave him 3 games. And they don't explain how they form their conclusions, which raises 10,000 questions all over again. Nobody trusts those bozos up there. Nobody.
I think what does explain them is if he wouldn't have gone in and been cooperative and would have threatened to drag this out in litigation for the next year, I'm sure he would have gotten the 6 games. But because he was cooperative, remorseful, whatever you want to call it, he got a reduced sentence. It just happens in every criminal case in this country.
Yeah, but
I don't know why it's
Jim, you're confusing the real world with the NFL.
No, Jim does bring up a legitimate point there about saving the NFL the headache of dragging it in.
Litigation. But we know that. That's why he got 3 games, because their image, Roger Goodell is concerned greatly about the image of the league right now. Greatly. That is his number one priority. I don't care what he says. He's looking out for the NFL and all this other stuff, and what Marcel Darius is facing 2 counts of sexual assault and whatever's going to happen with LeSean McCoy. All this stuff, I'm telling you. This is about image. And he cut that deal with Jameis Winston about him. Now, what if this woman files civil suit, this girl Kate, and wins? How is that going to make Roger Goodell look?
That's an excellent point.
You know? Thanks, Jim. You made some great points, Jim. I appreciate it. Call soon, because I love hearing from law enforcement officials, because they have a much better... But, and I understand. The problem is the NFL has their own set of rules. It's different from out in the real world. It's unfortunate, but they gave Roger Goodell that type of autonomy, and that's where Demoris Smith and the rest of the NFL Players Association, they have no one to blame but themselves. They did this. They didn't read the fine print. They did this. They're responsible for it. And that's why you have all this chaos. But again, how is Roger Goodell going to look if any of these women file civil suits and win at Jameis Winston sitting there with 3-game suspension? Come on.
Yeah, it's a bad look. There's no doubt about it. And I do think Jim brought up a legitimate point, a thought that something I hadn't thought of before, where it's taking it that next step, and if we're avoiding the litigation and all the dollars that go along with that. Now, I do think it's interesting that this is the year where Jameis is getting his 3-game suspension. Go look at his salary this year.
Well, yeah,
compared to next year.
Yeah, well, it's 21 million, maybe.
Had it been flipped, just saying, crazy contract that Jameis signed, he's making 20 this year and only 900,000 next year. You better believe that he is going to exhaust every legal option until the end of the season, in which case then he'll say, you know what, never mind. Yep. I'll take my whatever game suspension, and you can have my money.
Good points. No question about it. Again, this all ties into the image of the National Football League. Roger Goodell, this is his worst nightmare.
And back to one more thing Jim said, talking about a professional leave of absence, or where you still get paid but you're suspended with pay. They have that. It's the commissioner exempts list. The NFL has that already.
Which is LeSean McCoy might very well be headed that
right,
way.
Right. That's where Adrian Peterson, he was placed on that list when he had the whole incident with using a switch on his kid. It's been used a handful of times. It will probably be used again with LeSean McCoy, I would think.
And this is the problem. Every website, just about, that's dealing with sports has these stories right now. LeSean McCoy, Marcel Darius, those were the top. Let me read you the NFL NFL.com site, okay, which is run by the National Football League. You ready? Here's the top stories. Hall of Fame ceremony will not individually mention Owens. Who gives a crap at this point? I don't care anymore about that nonsense. Romo. Miles Austin, like wide receiver, could emerge for Cowboys. Whoop-de-freaking-do. NFC North camp preview. Bears wide receiver battle brewing. Gets better. Giants, Redskins, nab corners in supplemental draft. Woo-hoo-hoo! HOF advice. Winston working out with Randy Moss. We covered that yesterday. Okay, it's an okay story. Nothing. Jets set to sign supplemental snub Brandon Bryant. McCoy's girlfriend, former girlfriend, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 down. McCoy's former girlfriend beaten in home invasion. Romo predicts Packers, Jaguars matchup in Super Bowl 53. Thank God they put that
stepping all over Sound Street, huh?
And then Wessel, and then seven deepest position groups in the NFL. There is, Marcel Darius is on the top of every NFL site today at some point, except a storyline, except on the NFL.com site. And then they still have McCoy's former girlfriend beaten in home invasion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stories down. And there you have it right there in a nutshell. There you have it.
No doubt about it.
Does anybody care? I don't care anymore if Terrell Owens is at all. I don't care.
What was the last good?
That's the last thing I'm worried about.
Last good headline to come out of the NFL.
I'm here looking.
What was it? Because I mean, I saw something today where J.J. Watt donated $10,000 to
to another charity.
And I forget what he donated it to, but he donated $10,000 to something. Good story.
He donated $10,000 to Family of the Fallen Firefighter.
I bet you that's on the front of NFL.com.
Right now, top headline. No, it's not. Actually,
why not?
It's not.
Oh, Hard Knocks favorite. Where are they now? Well, like, that should be top story on NFL.com.
Yeah,
promote
it is. Hard Knock favorites, where are they now? That is, like, the big story, the big headline.
That guy.
Yep. Nope, that's not even in the... It's not even on here. It's not even on... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 stories to the left. Hard Knocks, where are they now? And it's got people from Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Miami, the Jets, Rams, Cowboys. To the right is the 10 stories I said. And then you scroll down... Craziest workout for the 2018 offseason. The Patricia plan. Is Justin Tucker a lock for Hall of Fame? NFC South camp a primer. Ranking the seven deepest position groups. Most notable supplemental draft picks in NFL history. And then 2018 NFL rookie forecast. And which edge rusher under 30 would you take for one play, drive, or game?
Josh Gordon has to be the best player taken in a supplemental, right? At least in my lifetime.
Believable.
Who else was taken in a supplemental draft? That interests me.
I'll tell you right now, since you said it, Bernie Kosar, 1985, first round by the Browns. Yep.
The Boz?
Brian Bosworth, Chris Carter.
Huh.
Yep. Yep, Brian Bosworth.
There's not a lot there.
No. Chris Carter by the Eagles in the fourth round. Steve Walsh. For the Cowboys in 89. Bobby Humphrey, first round pick by the Broncos.
Terrell Pryor, that's right. Terrell Pryor
Rob Moore was pretty good. 1990, first round by the Jets. Dave Brown, God, he was awful. 1992 by the Giants. Tito Wooten, the defensive back for the Giants. Nobody remembers him. John Davis, the tight end, fourth round by the Cowboys. Jamal Williams, 1998, second round by the Chargers.
Hmm.
Mike Wally, second round guard by the Packers. Nobody remembers him. Milford Brown, center. Ahmad Brooks, not bad. Paul Oliver, but the bigger non-story for the NFL Network is that's what they don't have J.J. Watt story about there giving money to the fallen firefighter.
$10,000.
But Terrell Owens is the top. That's the top headline. Hall of Fame ceremony will not individually mention Owens. You know why? That's another image story for the NFL.
Yeah.
What a joke. 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. South Street's up next. Sheeman and Shepherd rolling on to Thursday here. 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think this is serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Thank you.
All righty, South Street is brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives online at OptimalMale.net. Last night, 5,265 brave souls witnessed this historic Starlin Castro knock.
Castro, base hit left side. Cooper being waved around. Here comes a throw from Yelich. It's off the mark, and Castro wins it. Another walk-off win for the Marlins.
Yay! They win 5-4, 12 innings, 5,265 allegedly were there. Only a couple hundred, though, stayed around to the 12th inning. After the game, skipper Don Mattingly said the Marlins are playing well.
That you feel like this team has gained an identity of how we play or how we want to, or how we need to play to win games. And that's really to do what we've been doing is, you know, getting our hits, moving runners, trying to get a guy in. We're hitting and running. We're trying to get some bags. We're trying to be aggressive on the bases. And we're pitching pretty good. And so this is our kind of game.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox keep on beating up on pathetic competition. They went 9 in a row last night.
Kimbrel looking to end it. And that is fitting, isn't it? Strike three. The Red Sox win again. And a beat goes on for Boston. The Red Sox have made it 9 in a row. And they sweep an opponent, TC, for the third consecutive series.
Dave O'Brien, and I'll tell you what, once again, Chris Sale last night, it's like fifth game in a row. He's had at least 11 Ks and one or less walk, which is just sick. Absolutely sick. I mean, he was toying with the Texas Rangers last night. Alex Cora, Red Sox skipper, talked about the hitting last night.
For now, where we at, now we still got four games before the All-Star break. As a group, from Chris all the way to Craig, they're healthy. They're throwing the ball well. We always talk about the offense the last few weeks, but I think pitching-wise, you start looking up there, and there's a lot of 97, 98, obviously with the secondary stuff that our guys have. So as a collective group, we feel very, very comfortable with our pitching staff.
They're 36 games over 500. The freaking Baltimore Orioles are 38 and a half games behind. Think about that.
When's the All-Star game?
Next Tuesday.
Could be 40.
Absolutely pathetic. That is pathetic. Meanwhile, the NBA, Rob Pelinka, the LA Lakers general manager, talks about LeBron.
When LeBron chose to come here, it was the ultimate validation for the moves we've made and what we've been building since we started. For the greatest player in the world to onboard and to become part of the Lakers just made Magic and I and Jeannie and Luke so proud of the work we've done so far. And I think I said in our press release yesterday that the work is not done by any stretch of the imagination. We're on a journey. We're on a journey towards bringing the 17th banner to the Los Angeles Lakers, and we know we still have work to do to get there.
Yeah. It'll be a great 8-1 matchup next year, maybe, when the Lakers take on Golden State in the first round. You can pencil that in right now. You heard it here first. Hey, that's your 8-1 matchup next year. Maybe they can make up 12 games. All right, 239-337-3776. When we come back, we have some more news on LeSean McCoy. Some interesting stuff. Once again, as this continues deeper and deeper, and it's looking more and more that there's going to be some action taken against Mr. McCoy at some point here. But we'll tell you the latest when we come back. It's Sheeman and Shepard rolling on here on a Thursday on 99.3 ESPN.